Jesus did not pay most of it, right? He didn't, you know, like, Jesus paid almost all, right? I mean, he paid all of our sin, past, present, and future. That is mind-blowing, especially knowing some of your sins. And my own, right? It's just, it's incredible. Every day, every moment of every day is a new beginning, right? He took away our sin. He takes away our sin. He will ultimately take away the presence of sin. Sin, past, present, future, all through the blood of Christ. It's incredible. And Micah, by 2 o'clock this afternoon, you have sinned at least 6 more times, right? I mean, that's not the aim, but I understand, right? But to know that that forgiveness is continually there is just, man, right? The shame, the penalty, the wrath of God, all taken away. But brother and sister, don't take advantage of that, right? Don't think that just because we are forgiven, you can go sin. The Bible says, God forbid. God forbid that just because we are loving the grace of God, that we would take advantage of the grace of God. And that is the ability of wisdom. The ability of wisdom is to be able to enjoy and bask in the grace of God, but understand the truth of it so that we do not take advantage of it, but that we strive to be holy as He is holy. We're in the book of Proverbs. We are in chapter 8. This is kind of a weird chapter in the fact that wisdom is the one speaking, right? The wisdom is personified here, and so this is wisdom speaking. So when it says I, it's wisdom saying I. When it says, you know, me, it's wisdom speaking of me. And we're going to go through this chapter, and hopefully, hang on with me. I'm going to give you the punchline right away so you know, right? And then we're going to kind of try and bring it down to a practical level because it's really hard. So if I want you to do something like, I want you to get this Bible study book, and I want you to go through it, I want you to fill in the blanks, and you will grow. That's easy to grasp. Got it, right? Give me the book, I'll fill in the blanks, I'll do the study, I can pass it back in. But when someone says, now get wisdom, you're like, how do I do that, right? How do I figure out what wisdom is to get that? And we're going to talk about the difference between human wisdom and godly wisdom as we wrap up today, so that hopefully we can get a grasp of this. But the first 90% of this chapter is elevating wisdom so that you want it bad enough. You say, well, why wouldn't I want it bad enough? Well, when was the last time you asked for it? Right? I mean, when was the last time you begged God that you really woke up really desiring wisdom and wanting to go after wisdom? Probably not. We wake up and think, oh, this is my to-do list. This is what I have to do. Here are some of my problems. Here are some solutions. And we think through things and we, you know, end up going to bed tired, and then we wake up and do the next thing. When we're going to see one of the key parts of this passage is that we desire wisdom most of all. And you say, whoa, wait, what about desiring God most of all? Isn't that what we're supposed to do, desire God most of all? Yes. We're going to see that wisdom is a characteristic of God even before creation and at creation, and it is wisdom that brings us to God. It's the wisdom that says you're not good enough to be with God. It's wisdom that says you're a sinner and need to repent and need salvation. It is wisdom that says you're not going to make it to heaven. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You're not going to make it. That's what wisdom says. Wisdom says you need God and points you to a relationship with God. That's why we need to seek wisdom, because it's by wisdom, by God's wisdom, that we are taken actually to the presence of God and His Word. So chapter 8, verse 1, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand? It's talking all about where she is and how she's righteous. So if we jump down to verse 10, take my instruction instead of silver and my knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels. It's raising up the value of wisdom, saying this is not an option that we should say, well, shall I seek the wisdom of God over this? This is something that we should be in desperate need of and have a realization that we are in desperate need of it and seek it each and every day. James chapter 1, verse 5 says what? We've quoted this verse almost every week. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to everyone without reproach. Without reproach. It's not like, oh, here's Corey again. I guess we'll dish out a little more just for the sake of Connie, right? No, without reproach, and it will be given him. So God wants us to be asking him for this wisdom. And at the end of verse 11, it says, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. In other words, saying, if you're wise, you will love what God loves and you will hate what God hates. And pride, your arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech, I hate. Starting to make a division here. Wisdom starting to make a division, saying, wisdom is godly wisdom that will produce life. But there's human wisdom that is full of pride and arrogance, right? One of the best definitions of pride once I heard was that pride is when you simply stop listening. You stop listening to the wisdom that God has for you. You think that you can do it on your own. As a matter of fact, I read a great quote this week. It said this, that you don't recognize, in other words, pride and arrogance is when you don't recognize a source of authority greater than yourself. That's part of the human wisdom part. It's when you don't recognize an authority that's greater than yourself, that you think you have it all, that you can figure it out. You're smart enough. You have enough tools in your belt to figure it out. So he goes on in verse 17. I love those who love me. This is wisdom. Wisdom says, I love those who love me, right? Who seek me diligently. And this is where it starts. It starts with the desire. So I'm hoping right now that you're just not listening to some yak up here, but that you're actually in your heart and mind right now as you sit in that pew, right? That you're saying, yes, God, I need your wisdom. I desire your wisdom more than my own ideas. I desire your agenda over my own agenda. I desire for you to scope out my life and I follow that rather than me trying to reason it on my own. I hope that's your desire. Jumps to verse 23. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. In other words, at the very beginning, the characteristic of God was wisdom. The first of all is acts of old. Ages ago, wisdom says, I was set up at the first, before even the beginning of the earth. And then all the way from 24 down to 31, it talks about the world. Really, though, elevating the wisdom behind it. And then he jumps down to verse 32 through 36. And now, O sons, listen to me. Listen. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me. He does an incredible thing here in these verses. He is linking wisdom with obedience. If you're wise, you're going to listen. You're going to be instructed. You're going to follow. And what does that result in? I'm going to tell you in a minute how that practically works out. He says in verse 35, for whoever finds me finds life. So John 10:10, right? Jesus said, I've not come to kill, steal, and destroy like that, but I've come to give you life and to give it to the fullest, to give it to you abundantly. But not, it's not going to work out with your wisdom. It's when you follow my wisdom. And so now as we come to this conclusion, we're seeing how he's marrying together wisdom and obedience to him. At the end of 35 and then 36, whoever finds me will find life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. Just the opposite of life. So we are going to pick apart now what this means. What does wisdom mean? How does that work out for us when wisdom and obedience are clinked together? You have a bulletin. On the back is an outline. I want to try and slowly go through this. So number one, as we walk through number one, I'm going to first define wisdom, which is the words not in the parentheses. I know it's hard to follow along, but try, right? So wisdom is the ability to know how to think or act correctly. Wisdom is the ability to know how to think or act correctly. Now, we're going to look at godly wisdom, and then we're going to look at human wisdom. So godly wisdom, which is why we're here, hopefully, why we're gathered together, to dig in and say, yes, I desire God's wisdom. How do I get it? Well, you ask for it. Okay, I'm asking for it, but how do I get it? Well, first of all, the ability, which comes from God. So even the ability to have it, which is why we ask God to give us the ability to have this wisdom. And to know what? What comes from his word? He has given us his wisdom right here. He's given us his wisdom on how to handle relationships, right? Is it wise to lie in a relationship? Depends, right? Well, not if you have godly wisdom. Godly wisdom says you don't lie in a relationship. We'll look at human wisdom in a minute that says it depends on how it works out for you, right? But godly wisdom sticks to the word of God. If the word of God says it's wrong, if the word of God says it's not part of God's design or it's outside of God's design, then we follow it. We follow it because we understand this wisdom, the ability that we have to get wisdom is from God, and then to know what it is also from God in his word and on how to think and act correctly according to God's design. And this is how we know God's design. See, this is why he says in the very beginning that wisdom was at the very beginning. Because at the very beginning, God created a sinless creation. He created us to have sinless relationships. I know that's mind-boggling because none of us have sinless relationships. We all screw it up. But how do we get back to redesign this? It's not going to be by your good thinking. It's not going to be by your human reasoning. It's going to be by understanding how God designed us to live and then saying, it doesn't matter what society says, I'm going to follow God's word. And yet human wisdom screams at us every day, even in our own mind. And can I tell you why? Because sometimes it works. I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know, maybe some of your cheating didn't work out for you, or, you know, some of your lying, or some whatever you may have disobeyed God in the past, and it might have brought you joy, might have brought you better circumstances. I'm not going to be up here and preach something that isn't true, because some of you are in different circumstances because you sinned, and those circumstances might be a little bit better. But it is not what we as believers are to do. That is not the path that we are to walk. So human wisdom says this, number two in your outline. Human wisdom says it's the ability, which comes from us, to know, which comes from our own knowledge, what we think, or maybe from our culture, social media, you know, what we're picking up, this makes sense, that makes sense, right? Or from our own experiences, we've gone through an experience, or maybe we're going through an experience and we're feeling like it's working out better, and I'm so glad I didn't follow God's word, and you're like, does that actually happen? Yeah, that actually happens. It's temporary, maybe even temporary, lifelong temporary here, but not in eternity. On how to act or think, and that is according to us, right? To what makes sense to us, what will work out for us. How many times I've heard it, well, that just makes sense. I'm just not happy. If I do this, this will make me happy. And we think this is some type of like wisdom. It is human wisdom, thinking that this temporary thing or this decision, even though it's against God's design, it's against how creation was set up, and yet somehow that's going to work for me. And so Proverbs chapter 8 is saying, wisdom, godly wisdom, was from the very beginning. It was from the design of God. And it's designed for you to have life. And we need to look into the Word and to make sure that we are yielding to God's truth, because that's God's wisdom. Even though it may cost you. It may cost you. It may cost you your pride. It might cost you something physical, material. It might cost you money. It might cost you a reputation. Why do we choose human wisdom over God's way? Because we think it's going to work out better for us. And Proverbs 8 is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Beg God for wisdom. Desire wisdom from Him. And that wisdom that we know comes from His Word. So we wake up in the morning and we say, God, give me wisdom. I'm going to mess up my relationships. I need your wisdom. And I'm going to look in your Word, and if your Word tells me to do something, if it tells me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. If it tells me I shouldn't be bitter, I'm not going to be bitter. If it tells me I shouldn't lie, I shouldn't lie. Fill in whatever you might be struggling with. When you know what the truth is, but you know it might work out better if you do something else. And Proverbs 8 is saying, there's nothing more valuable. There's nothing more valuable or that can even make sense to you. You need to have faith and trust in God. And that's why the very last thing on your outline, the conclusion. The conclusion says, so wisdom, godly wisdom, says find God and follow in His way. You first have to find Him. That's the beginning of understanding wisdom. We need wisdom to find God. Now, I would wrongly assume that all of you sitting here today are total followers of Jesus Christ, that you understand that you are a sinner, that you need the forgiveness of sins, and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. His shed blood forgives your sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And that He rose from the dead, showing His power and authority over death and sin, so that He can promise you eternal life if you trust in Him. And I would hope that all of us, I would assume that most of us, have made that decision sometime in your life. But if you haven't, if you've just kind of sought your own way, like, well, I'll make it. I mean, I'm good enough. I'm better than that person. I think I can earn it, or I'll worry about that when I get older, right? If we start to humanly reason, well, you know, God will get up there and it'll be the good and the bad, it'll be a scale. That's not what God's Word says. God's Word says that you need to trust in Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life, and the wrath of God abides on him. So you're in one of those two places. So I would pray that you would first find God. That's what wisdom would tell you. Hey, you want God's wisdom, you need a Savior. You need a Savior. Trust in Him. And then the second thing is, follow the one you're trusting Him. For crying out loud, you're trusting Him to forgive your sins. You're trusting Him when your body conks out to resurrect your soul, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. You're trusting Him in that you will live forever with the loved ones who have also trusted Him. What a great truth. You're trusting Him with all of that, using godly wisdom. Use it to follow Him. Just trust his word. If he says do something, do it. And I know it's hard. And I know it might cost you. And I know you would rather have a different husband or a different wife or a different financial situation or a different whatever. You fill it in, whatever it is that might go against God's word. But I'm telling you, don't. There's the ultimate wisdom of God's design for your life. Follow it. Father, I pray that you would give us the wisdom. The wisdom to follow it, the wisdom to see it, the wisdom to discern when we're saying something we shouldn't say, when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit to convict us in our hearts of those areas that we are operating outside of your wisdom, that we would get back to trust and faith and belief that your way is the best way, that your design is the best design. And even though it may cost us something, even though it might not seem to work out the way we want it to work out, we trust in you. In the name of Jesus, amen.